Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to Think Again, a program presented to you by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for now almost 29 years. We're broadcasting from the 3CR studio on the not-ceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jacques Boudet, with Jennifer having a day off today. I'm talking with Rita Gibra-Makwell, a solicitor from Birchgrove Legal in Sydney. She is involved in the Red Lines legislative campaign, which we will be talking about today. So welcome to Think Again, Rita.
Thank you so much for having me, Jacques. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Jacques.
So, as our listeners will know, since our beginnings 7 years ago, Think Again beginnings, we have had a range of conversations about peace, war, and the social and ecological disaster wars represent. We've had at least 10 conversations about Gaza over the last probably 1 or 2 years, really now meanwhile. We talked a lot about AUKUS. We tried to help ourselves and our listeners understand what's going on in the Sudan and other places where conflicts are doing their devastating worst. Borderlands has also been involved in the creation of the online Australian Living Peace Museum. But we again and again bump into the question as to why this country, Australia, is unable or seems to be unwilling or refuses to follow up on its past and present commitments to peace and on the obligations the country agreed to in regards of the United Nations Accords and the policies trying to prevent and contain wars and their consequences. So today I have the privilege to talk with Rita Gibra-Makwell, who is working on a proposed Red Lines legislative package, intending to ensure that Australia doesn't fund, arm or invest in illegal settlements, war crimes or genocide anywhere in the world, as mentioned on its website. So, Rita, welcome again. We will discuss the more specific details of the Red Lines legislative package later. But to start us off, could you just tell listeners what the initiative is about, broadly speaking, how it came about and who the groups and individuals behind it are, including, of course, your own involvement?
Thank you, Jack. Yes, look, I think we, like many other Australians who are sitting there watching the current phase of genocide unfold in Gaza, have been horrified and also overwhelmed with, you know, feelings of powerlessness and what can we do in this situation? And being a sort of practical person, I and some other legal experts and I suppose the academics. I'm a practicing solicitor, so I'm looking at things from a more practical level. But we have people like Dr. Sophie Rigney from RMIT and Professor Sarah Dem, who's an international law expert at UTS, Dr. Elliot Dolan Evans, who's a lecturer, also in has great expertise in international law, and another practicing solicitor who came on board in the last couple of years, his name is Jonathan Kelt. And really, just amongst us, we started to think, okay, let's not be in this mindset of just waiting, you know, waiting for the right government or for the right policy. You know, there's a lot of talk about the problem, and yet there's not a lot of focus in Australia on how we might be complicit and what we can do to stop that. Mm-hmm. And really, we want to help Palestinian people and help all people who are suffering under the weight of genocide or any form of atrocity. We have to make sure that we're taking care of our own backyard and our own laws and our own funds and our own exports, and that we're not contributing and that we're not enabling such suffering, you know. So that was the motive, and we worked together for initially to create a package that came into Parliament in the last federal Parliament in 2024, and at that time, independent senators Lydia Thorpe and Fatima Payman introduced it, and that helped to bring us a little bit more help and expertise because it got it onto the table, and then of course with the lapse of with the new Parliament coming in, that legislation lapses, so we were busy developing the 2.0 version, which developed by the fourth bill coming along. So there were only three bills initially, which is actually a lot, three draft laws. We had another group come to us from Victoria who are affiliated with Liberty Victoria. So they're called the Rights Advocacy Project, RAP. It's like a group of early career lawyers and barristers who work together on one law reform project for 18 months at a time. And they came to us saying, look, you know, we've decided that we want to create a bill that stops trade with these illegal settlements. And we're inspired by this legislation that has almost passed in Ireland. It's almost passed four times, right? And it actually passed, a version of it passed just in July this year, which stops Ireland from, I think it's exporting and importing goods, but not services, because that was the compromise. There is a huge movement in Ireland. Apparently, that bill had 90% public support, and yet it couldn't get passed. It just kept getting blocked, and that campaign went for about a decade. Now, of course, Ireland has these massive, I want to call them data centres, but I'm not sure that's quite the term, but, you know, all the big centres where the social media companies currently are based in Ireland, and that became something that was really held over Ireland by the US and was blocking the passage of that legislation. But they got there, and we were grateful to have this Victorian crew come on board and bring this fourth bill and round out the package. And it's, you know, we can't say it's perfect, but it's definitely, at least 100% better than what we have at the moment. Yeah. So we're keen to have it debated in Parliament.
Oh, good. And particularly it will become clearer what you really mean when we talk about the details of the four bills which you are proposing.
Yes.
So the first bill you propose is about preventing Australia to enable war crimes or genocide through the export of components to be used for war purposes. So what is this about more specifically?
So Australia has these obligations under the Arms Trade Treaty not to help war crimes through its exports of weapons and also components. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Australian government has sort of danced around this a bit by saying, oh, we're just supplying components and it goes into this global war and so it doesn't matter. But it actually does matter. It's actually a violation of our obligations under the Arms Trade Treaty. But when you look at the legislation that we have at the moment, which is the Defence Trade Control Amendment, the Defence Trade Control Act, there's no strong or clear explicit requirement that the Defence Minister consider whether our exports will contribute to war crimes. And that's a pretty big moral vacuum to have in the middle of especially when we've just, in 2024, the Albanese government passed more laws to exempt all our defence exports that go to the US and UK from having any checks or balances under the permit system. They called it a new licence-free environment, which is essentially, you know, liberalising or creating a free trade environment for these defence exports in a time of heightened genocide where the US is the main backer to the perpetrator. And it is a from a legal perspective, it was kind of horrifying to a lot of us watching. But the good thing about this bill is that it actually says that it actually says that regardless of those laws that the Albanese government passed in 2024, if there is a real risk that our exports are going to enable or assist war crimes, crimes against humanity or genocide, that that's illegal and it cannot be allowed. It's prohibited under the proposed law, and it also sets up a requirement for the minister to keep a register of all his or her decisions, and sets up these pathways for public interest litigation for where we think that they are not being transparent. I think when it's usually explained to most people, they just say, why is that already not part of our law? You know,
that's right.
Mind-boggling, but...
Especially when I saw yesterday on the news Mr. Miles sitting brilliantly facing Mr. Hicksett in the United States and having cozy conversations with him. So I feel it's a really important point you're mentioning there. So the second red line bill is about making sure that Australia as a nation or through its institutions would not benefit or contribute to genocide. It's really about creating more transparency about its international commerce, isn't it? As you were already starting to explain just before.
So it focuses on the value chains, or some people refer to it as supply chains and operations of large companies and the Australian government. It includes the Future Fund, Australia's Future Fund, universities. And it's similar to the Modern Slavery Act that has this, you know, requirement that these entities produce a statement every year. We weren't happy with the Modern Slavery Act because there was a lot of, you know, there's been reviews of it which have shown it was really toothless and ineffective. So we took the lessons from those reviews and applied it to this proposed bill. It's called the Genocide Reporting, Prevention and Restitution Bill. And it just sets up, as you say, a transparency framework, but there's also these legal pathways for public interest proceedings where we think that the truth is not being told. And there are also due diligence requirements applied to senior managers in government and in those large companies. Large companies that have a revenue of over $100 million a year. It also extends to any defence-related company, no matter what it is earning, because there are some smaller companies that are feeding into the big multinational primes.
Yeah, we were involved quite a bit with some of the protests here in Melbourne around firms who produce parts of the planes and all of that kind of stuff, and that's really what it is about, isn't it?
That's the F-35 supply chain one of our biggest concerns, and that is directly addressed by that second bill.
And so where is that? Is that bill now ready to be proposed? The proposal ready to be discussed?
So all these the four bills are now all on the website, redlinespackage.com.au, and they're actually going to be launched in and introduced into Parliament House in mid-September, I think. By the crossbench, by a selection of actually a broader group of senators and MPs.
So in order to let our listeners catch their breath a little bit, let's have a listen to Larry Maluma appropriately saying, "Time's up." Listening to Think Again on 3CR Radio, 855 AM on your dial, and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today, I'm having a conversation about a package of legislative bills called as the Red Lines Package, which are being developed and proposed to create more accountability and transparency about Australia's complicity in contributing to warfare, to war crimes and genocide, and a call for compliance with the nation's international agreed-to obligations. So, Rita, the final two bills are about making sure that public funds don't end up being invested in illegal settlements or genocidal, potential or not, activities or projects. What is this about more specifically?
Yeah, so obviously a big part of the problem is money, right? It's not, you know, even not just the defence goods or services, but money and how that flows. And so the third bill is about illegal investments in illegal settlements anywhere in the world. So it's drafted in a universal, all these bills are actually drafted in a very universal way. So they're not, obviously they'll have significant impacts for Israel, but they won't be limited to Israel. They'll have impact for our exports, for example, to the UAE, that, you know, we still don't know how much that contributes to what's happening in, with the RSF and the genocide in Sudan. So there are many places around the world that this will have, will provide a source of reassurance to affected communities in Australia who are really hurting. So coming back to the money flows, on this third bill really focuses on the Future Fund, which is this, you know, massive fund containing retirement savings that has, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in there. It currently is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on weapons and technology companies that are linked to genocide in Gaza. And also at least $100 million for companies that are expanding illegal settlements in by Israel. So there is, you know, that's a, why are we spending that? I mean, we could be spending it on housing in Australia or doing something, you know, that's just a, such a terrible way to profiteer from such terrible suffering. So we have some new requirements on the Board of Guardians for the Future Fund that they have to divest when they have real or constructive knowledge about the about those links. And then the same thing for charities, Australian charities, because we know that there are some Australian charities that are supporting expansion of the illegal settlements. And then the third category is our superannuation funds. We know, for example, that in the next, I think it's the next five to 10 years, we'll be investing $2 trillion worth of Australian retirement savings in the US economy. And the US economy obviously has quite a heavy focus on, a lot of its discretionary budget is spent on military and that sort of technology. So, you know, the fact that we are, we don't have any kind of red lines for that industry when it comes to war crimes and crimes against humanity is really concerning. And that's what this bill fixes. And the fourth bill has a focus. This is the one that the Rights Advocacy Project in Victoria drafted. And it's to stop, it makes it a criminal offence to import goods or services from the illegal settlements and to also extract natural resources from unlawfully occupied territories that are helping to expand illegal settlements. It's similar to, some of the Irish examples that we've seen, but it's, I think, even better and stronger. And that's the benefit, is that as countries around the world are, there are a few countries now in Europe that have passed similar legislation. Mm-hmm. So there are strong forces against this kind of legislation around the world, but... Mm. It is also possible where there is a working democracy to pass it, and this will be a real test for Australian democracy whether we can get inquiries into these bills, whether we can have a good discussion about it in Parliament, how people will vote, and ultimately whether we can, if the Parliament doesn't pass it, whether we can. Whether the Australian people will be moved to maybe change their voting patterns and bring in a different type of parliament that is capable of passing legislation like this. I think part of the problem is that we just don't have enough discussion about the policy solutions that we want and that we want to fight for, and that's part of the gap this package addresses.
Yeah, and after all, it's our money, isn't it? So to round out our conversation, how come that our laws and regulations are so deficient in making sure that our complicity in such international crimes gets stopped or would ever pop up again? How is that possible?
Yes. Well, I think it's just our laws have been designed by, with that in mind, to keep profiteering ahead of people. And we have a sanctions framework, right, which really relies on the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong, to exercise her discretion. But these matters shouldn't be just up, lay at the feet of one person. They should be the responsibility of every, the board of people who are investing hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. They should have the responsibility of considering this. And our defence minister, who's exporting weapons, he or she should be considering this. It's not the idea is that we are integrating it right into the relevant domestic laws, which is important because at the moment, international law just feels like it's in a crisis situation. We don't know what institutions there are to uphold anything. Bringing it into our domestic laws makes it enforceable.
That's right.
And of course, that'll be why it is fiercely resisted by certain interest groups. This will be a test for our democracy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And particularly also because so many ministers, after they're done being minister, end up being consultants to the weapons industry, like some of our previous ones are very clearly there. It's just like outrageous, I find. Anyway, Rita, we're coming to the end of our program. Thank you so much for being ready to help us with all of that information, which is necessary.
And thank you for having me.
And it's really important that all of us know as much as possible about what our government is doing in our name, really. So thank you and good luck. And let us know if there's anything else we can do to support this kind of move into the parliament.
Yes.
So thank you again.
If I can just add, people can go to the website now and there is a, on the support page, you can write a letter to your MP or senator. It's already drafted there for you. It's very easy. And that would be a great way to help lift up the campaign now.
Fantastic. And we will put it on the website as well.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so much and good luck with it all. And let us stay in touch.
Wonderful. Thank you.
One community announcement. Tomorrow, 10 to 5 in the CBD, there will be, in the drill hall in the Multicultural Hub, there will be a big discussion around the spread of the data centers. And after what Rita just told us about Ireland and the way in which data centers controlled by the US are being spread there, we should actually start thinking about what it all means and prevent the spread and the takeover of so many spaces in and close to our living areas, as well as Aboriginal land for those kinds of purposes. So 10 to 5 tomorrow, Multicultural Hub. Thanks for listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. If you want to send us any comments about today and today's program, please email Borderlands, info@borderlandscooperative.net. And remember, our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. And as per usual, to finish our program and bring us into Jailbreak, a program of and by our sisters and brothers in jail, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.